for millennia beyond count, in winter's cold and night's darkness, people have gathered around fire, feeling its warmth, seeing by its light, forging community with food and work and songs and stories. In all faith traditions of our kind, fire has meaning. And so we gather, sharers all in the human spirit that makes us one. I'm going to light my chalice candle now, using some words by Cliff Reid. We kindle our chalice flame as other chalice flames burn brightly around the world. May our flames warm all human hearts of all faiths and nations and direct us towards a future of peace and justice, oneness and loving kindness. May it be so. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this not quite yet post-COVID world, keeping in touch however we can, and helping each other however we may. May we remember that caution is still needed, that close contact is still unwise. Help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have, and to respect the wishes of others. May we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, suffering in any way. Amen. All our readings today are taken from the Little Book of Hugger by Mike Viking. Hugger? Hyogu? Hug? It's not important how you choose to pronounce or even spell Hugger. To paraphrase one of the greatest philosophers of our time, Winnie the Pooh, when asked how to spell a certain emotion, you don't spell it, you feel it. However, spelling and pronouncing hugger is the easy part. Explaining exactly what it is, that's the tricky part. Hugger has been called everything from the art of creating intimacy, coziness of the soul, and the absence of annoyance, to taking pleasure from the presence of soothing things, cozy togetherness, and my personal favourite, cocoa by candlelight. Hugger is about an atmosphere and an experience, rather than about things. It is about being with the people we love, a feeling of home, a feeling that we are safe, that we are shielded from the world, and allow ourselves to let our guard down. You may be having an endless conversation about the small or big things in life, or just be comfortable in each other's silent company, or simply be by yourself enjoying a cup of tea. Hugger. I invite you now to join with me in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. The words of our next reading from the Little Book of Hugger describe a typical Hugger experience. One December, just before Christmas, I was spending the weekend with some friends at an old cabin. The shortest day of the year was brightened by the blanket of snow covering the surrounding landscape. When the sun set around 4 in the afternoon, we would not see it again for 17 hours, and we headed inside to get the fire going. We were all tired after hiking and were half asleep, sitting in a semicircle around the fireplace in the cabin, wearing big jumpers and woolen socks. The only sounds you could hear were the stew boiling, the sparks from the fireplace, and someone having a sip of their mulled wine. Then one of my friends broke the silence. "Could this be any more Hugger?" he asked rhetorically. "Yes," said one of the girls after a moment, "if there was a storm raging outside." We all nodded. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. Thanks be for these. For the sound of bow on string, of breath over reed, of touch on keyboard, for slants of sunlight through windows, for shimmering shadows on snow, for the whisper of wind on my face, for the smooth skin of an apple, for the caress of a collar on my neck, for the pricking of my skin when I'm deeply moved, for the pounding of my heart when I run, for the peace of soul at day's end, for familiar voices in family rites, for the faces of friends in laughter and tears, for the tender human arms that hold me, for the flashes of memories that linger, for the mysterious moments that beckon, for the particularity of this instant, for the silence of moonlit nights, for the sound of rain on my roof, of wind in dry leaves, of waves caressing the shore. For the softness of summer breezes, for the crispness of autumn air, for dark shadows on white snow, for the resurrection of spring, for the faithful turning of the seasons, for angular leafless trees, for gentle hills rolling in the distance, for meandering streams seeking an unseen sea, for cornstalks at stiff attention, and brittle plants bristling past their prime, for unharvested gardens, returning plants to enrich the soil, for the sight of familiar faces, the sound of our spoken names, the welcoming embrace of outstretched arms, for the ritual of friendship, reminding us that we matter. Thanks be for all these. Amen. Partway in to his remarkable book, Mike Viking shares the Hygge Manifesto. It has 10 simple points. 1. Atmosphere. Turn down the lights. 2. Presence. Be here, now. Turn off the phones. 3. Pleasure. Coffee, chocolates, cookies, cakes, candy. 4. Equality. We over me. Share the tasks and the airtime. 5. Gratitude. Take it in. This might be as good as it gets. 6. Harmony. It's not a competition. We already like you. There is no need to brag about your achievements. 7. Comfort. Get comfy. Take a break. It's all about relaxation. 8. Truce. No drama. Let's discuss politics another day. 9. Togetherness. Build relationships and narratives. Do you remember the time we... 10. Shelter. This is your tribe. This is a place of peace and security. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection, to sit with your back straight, your feet planted firmly on the earth, your hands relaxing in your lap, and your eyes closed. There will be some words. There will be a time of silence. Then a few more words. to the blessings of this season. May our senses be alert and our hearts take heed. For in a busy and sometimes tragic world, beauty is often the comfort most sure. To the blessings of warm, accepting human relationship, may our hearts be open and our minds take heed. For in a lonely and sometimes frightening world, friendship is often the support that upholds us. To the blessings of high ideals and noble aspirations, may our minds be open and our hands take heed. For in a troubled and sometimes dangerous world, justice is often the hope that sustains us. Forgiving each other and ourselves for all we do not sense, for the love we do not share, for the acts of justice we avoid, let us treasure the parts of ourselves that do respond. Blessed be the life that comforts, sustains, and upholds us. And blessed be we who do, now and then, awaken to its grace. Amen. Let's listen to some music. I first came across the concept of hygge about 5 years ago, when I discovered Mike Viking's The Little Book of Hygge on the shelves of my supermarket. I thought that the cover was pretty and was intrigued by the title, so I bought it. And it is delightful. It is definitely one of my ah books, straight off the bat. One of those books which, in the words of Vernon Sproxton, induce a fundamental change in the reader's consciousness. They widen our sensibility in such a way that we are able to look upon familiar things as though we are seeing and understanding them for the first time. Our books give you sentences which you can roll around in the mind, throw in the air, catch, tease out, analyse. But in whatever way you handle them, they widen your vision. So what is hygge? And why am I devoting an entire service to it? As Mike Viking said in my first reading, hygge is about an atmosphere and an experience rather than about things. It is about being with the people we love, a feeling of home, a feeling that we are safe, that we are shielded from the world and allow ourselves to let our guard down. You may be having an endless conversation about the small or big things in life, or just be comfortable in each other's silent company. For me, hygge is what a Unitarian congregation, a Unitarian community at its best, is all about. Summer school is particularly hygge-like. But of course, for the Danes, hygge is not a religious matter. It is a whole-of-life matter. They seem to apply the word to all kinds of everything and all kinds of situations and places. It is derived from a Norwegian word meaning well-being, but it can be used as a noun, a verb, and also an adjective. Viking uses words like cosiness, warmth, and togetherness to describe hygge, but that isn't the half of it. He also talks about getting the hygge on, of a hygge krog, that nook in a kitchen or living room where you can sit and have a hygge-like time, of a hygge stund, a moment of hygge, for example, sitting quietly in your special place and drinking a cup of coffee. It's a very complex and all-pervasive concept in Denmark. I found the whole idea enchanting. Let me take you through the hygge manifesto, which I shared as our final reading. Firstly, Viking talks about creating a cosy atmosphere, a hygge-like atmosphere, by turning down the lights, by having table lamps and candles, which create pools of light, rather than strong overhead lighting, and about the importance of being present, not being distracted by phones and other social media, being in a place with friends and committing your complete attention to this. He speaks of pleasure, of sharing food and drink, mainly of the warm and sweet varieties. Also of cooking together to create and then share a simple, satisfying meal. Or simply spending time in a common, pleasant activity. For example, playing cards or board games are very popular hygge pastimes, played for pleasure, not for competition, nor to score points. Which brings me to the significance of the next point on the manifesto. Equality. It's about sharing the tasks, the activities, whatever these might be, and allowing everyone to be heard and held and listened to. He mentions gratitude, being grateful for what we are experiencing at that very moment. This, of course, is linked to being present. In one of our prayers this morning, Richard Gilbert gave thanks for familiar voices in family rites, for the faces of friends in laughter and tears, for the tender human arms that hold me, for the sight of familiar faces, the sound of our spoken names, the welcoming embrace of outstretched arms, for the ritual of friendship. I believe that all this too is hygge-like, and we do need to be grateful to it and appreciate it as it happens. Another element of the hygge manifesto is harmony. Viking comments, "It's not a competition. We already like you. There's no need to brag about your achievements." The hygge experience is about choosing to embrace each person just the way they are, with both strengths and weaknesses, gifts and imperfections. I came across a gorgeous new word the other day, flawsome, which is a way of describing an individual who embraces their flaws and knows that they are awesome regardless. I like this very much and think that each and every one of you is flawsome. Comfort is one of the most fundamental parts of the hygge manifesto. Being comfortable and relaxed, not stressed. It's about wearing comfortable clothing, soft hand-knitted sweaters and cardigans, paired with soft jeans or leggings, or comfy trousers, a scarf and woolen socks. Anything tight or confining is out. Because how can you experience hygge if you are being cramped, cabined and confined by your clothes? Or if you're too cold or too hot? So it's about spending time in warm, comfortable spaces, wearing comfortable clothes, just chilling out, doing something which brings you quiet pleasure, either with good friends or on your own. Which is why truce, no drama, is a vital part of the hygge manifesto. There are times and places to talk about current affairs and politics, but hygge time isn't one of them. The idea is to avoid anything which is going to raise the emotional temperature or cause stress or disagreement. But perhaps the most foundational element of hygge is togetherness. Viking explains, while you can hygge by yourself, hygge mostly happens in small groups of close friends or family. Hygge is also a situation where there is a lot of relaxed thoughtfulness. Nobody takes centre stage or dominates a conversation for long stretches of time. Equality is an important element in hygge, a trait that is deeply rooted in the Danish culture, and also manifests itself in the fact that everybody takes part in the chores of the hygge-like evening. It is more hygge-like if we all help to prepare food instead of having the host alone in the kitchen. He continues, time spent with others creates an atmosphere that is warm, relaxed, friendly, down to earth, close, comfortable, snug, and welcoming. In many ways it is like a good hug, but without the physical contact. It is in this situation that you can be completely relaxed and yourself. The art of hygge is therefore also the art of expanding your comfort zone to include other people. Given this emphasis on togetherness, it is not surprising that the final component of the hygge manifesto is shelter. Viking comments, this is your tribe. This is a place of peace and security. So being with other people in a place of comfort and safety, experiencing the everyday joy of good company and a sense of belonging is the final element of hygge. I was especially struck by the similarities between the elements of the hygge manifesto, which I've just been talking about, and the constituents of a religious spiritual Sabbath. As some of you may know, I have been keeping a weekly Sabbath, just a half day on a Wednesday, for some time now. It helps to ground me and to give me some uninterrupted time for stillness and reflection and communing with the divine. But today I'd like to tell you about the elements of the Sabbath Manifesto, which was the document which started the Sabbath process off for me at a summer school some years ago. I still have the handout I was given then, and the similarities between Sabbath time and hygge time are quite striking. The Sabbath Manifesto also lists 10 principles. Avoid technology. Connect with loved ones. Nurture your health. Get outside. Avoid commerce. Light candles. drink wine, eat bread, find silence, and give back. Not a million miles away from Hooker. Of course, the decision to observe a regular Sabbath is a lot more intentional than being Hooker with friends. Or at least it is, in one way. I think that the difference between them is the desire to connect with the divine, with God, which is a crucial part of Sabbath time. Whereas Hooker time is more about relaxing and chilling out. It is more cultural and less spiritual, I suppose, at least overtly. But deep down, where it matters, I think that the resemblances are quite telling. They have in common the use of candles or soft light, the connection with loved ones, whether friends or family, the sharing of food and drink, the avoidance of stress, the importance of self-care, and the avoidance of technology. Although all seasons of the year can be hooker seasons, I think that winter, when we are more likely to gather around a fire, wear soft voluminous jumpers, and enjoy being together, is perhaps the most hooker-like. I wish you all a very hooker season this year. Some closing words. Spirit of life and love, may we share hooker time together with our loved ones this season. May we return to our everyday world refreshed. May we share the love we feel. May we look out for each other. And may we keep up our hearts, now and in the days to come. Amen.